All right, if not, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4 tonight. And as you're turning there, I want to read something that I saw the other day. This was from a lot of churches have their, I guess I should say so-called churches, as I read this one. But, a lot of churches have what they believe. If you've ever seen that either online or I got this from Facebook. This is what they believe. I'm not going to read them all, but one of the things that really caught my eye was about the Bible, and it says this, that we believe, it says this, to take the Bible seriously, but not literally. Seriously, but not literally, finding more grace in the search for meaning than in absolute certainty. And when I read that, I was shocked because I thought, so what they're saying is we take the Bible serious, but we don't believe everything it says in it. So I don't know how you do both at the same time. And then it says that we like to find the search for meaning is more exciting for them than something absolute certainty. So basically they're saying we get into it and we're more excited about figuring out what we want to figure out. And that there's no absolute truth or certainty. My goodness, that's just totally in the wrong direction when I saw that. But what's sad is there's a lot of so-called churches kind of on a similar road. And the other sad thing is you look at what else they believe. And one of the other things strive to follow the path of Jesus Christ while recognizing other pathways to the divine. So... my goodness. I tell you what, the problem is when you look at the Bible and you have such a light look at it, there's nothing absolute, nothing certain, nothing literal in it, then you can just make whatever path you want, even though Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That sounds pretty straightforward, pretty literal to me. And what's sad is you want to almost ask somebody, well, if nothing is absolutely certain, are you clinging on to the promises of heaven on one hand? And of course saying that, not everyone's going to hell because it's a God of love. But so how can you be absolutely certain of heaven if you're saying you can't be absolutely certain of anything? I'm glad we've got a certainty, and I'm glad my salvation is sure, and I know it, not because I'm finding a way, but because he found me, and he showed me the way, and praise God for that. But we'll be tonight, I want to look in Proverbs chapter 4. We'll start in verse 18 and look at a couple verses in this chapter. And so Proverbs 4:18 says this, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use me, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask that same Spirit would teach us, open up our hearts, our ears, and our minds to learn, to gather wisdom from your word tonight and to apply it to our life. We thank you for this chance. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Proverbs chapter 1 tells us that they were written by David's son, King David's son, King Solomon. He wrote the book of Proverbs, except for the last two chapters are written by two others. But we know from what the Bible says, this is just a small collection of all of Solomon's Proverbs, because 1 Kings 4:32 says he spoke 3,000 Proverbs, and he wrote over 1,000 songs. So we know that he very prolific writer, but we don't have them all. So we know, like we've said before, if God is only giving us a portion of the 3,000, these are the most important. This is what we need to focus on. But
looking at Solomon's life for a little bit. We're going to do a little bit of a longer introduction before we get back to that passage. But looking, 1 Kings 3 and 2 Chronicles 1 are parallel passages that tell us how Solomon got his wisdom. And you know how he got it? He asked God for it. He could ask for many things. He could have asked for riches or a long life or peace or even the life of his enemies. But he asked for more wisdom. And so God granted it. God was pleased with that request, and he gave him more wisdom, the Bible says, than any man who ever walked this earth apart from Jesus Christ. So we know he also, because of him asking for wisdom, God also gave him more riches than any man that had ever lived and will ever live. And he largely lived in peace and ease of life. He built the temple that his father David wanted to build, and then he dedicated that temple, and the Bible says he offered nearly 150,000 animal sacrifices when they dedicated that temple. So after that, God speaks to Solomon, and I'm going to read a couple of verses from 1 Kings 9:4 through 7. It says this, "And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people." So we know Solomon was given wisdom, riches, honor, peace from God, and now God is telling them, "I've given you a choice. You can either walk upright, you can either walk righteously, follow God's commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, or you can turn from following God. Either way, you have a choice." And God gives promises either way. He says, you walk with God. He says, your kingdom will be established, not for a little while, not just for your life. He says, but forever. But if Solomon or his children decide to turn from God, God said, I'll cut you off out of the land. And you think about it. He had been given supernatural wisdom from God, but he still had to make the choice every day of which way he was going to go. He had to make the choice every day. That wisdom was in his head and in his heart, but was it going to move his body, move his hands and feet and his mouth? That was the choice. Would he listen to God and obey God and follow God? And God said, depending on the choices that you make, you would either be rewarded or you would pay the consequences of the sin. And I'll tell you what, the same thing's true today. We're not a king, but we've got the same place. We don't have the same amount of wisdom that Solomon was given, but I'll tell you what, we've got a perfect book that is full and complete of every bit of wisdom and revelation from God and instruction that you and I will ever need. In fact, this is good enough for every life that's ever lived, every situation, rich, poor, educated, or uneducated, whatever. God's word has something for all of us. And then not only do we have the wisdom of God, we have the perfect teacher, that's the Holy Spirit, that we can go to, and he will show us and help us to learn. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And I tell you what, again, he's saying there's two different choices, two different ways. There is fearing God and putting that knowledge of God's word in your heart and putting it into practice, or there's foolishness outside of that. And you know what? I've said it many times before. The book of Proverbs is a wonderful book. 31 chapters. And a great thing to do is you can read a chapter a day. And in fact, you can go, today's the 9th, you can start tomorrow and read Proverbs chapter 10, get all the way to the end of the month and start over. And you can do that every day of your life. And I'll tell you what amazes me, I don't know how many times I've read some of these chapters of Proverbs, I always get something new out of it. And I that's because God's word is alive. But how do we find wisdom? How do we find godly instruction? It's from the word of God. And that's what we see. But back to our passage in Proverbs 4, 18 and 19, it starts off with this. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And you can see something right here in these two verses. We realize there's only two paths in this life. The way of the just and the way of the wicked. That's it. There's two different directions. And you think about in this life, there is a million different ways that you can live your life. You know, there are a million choices that, you know, even when a lot of these graduates, when they come to graduating, are they going to go off to college? Are they going to get a career, go into the career field first? And then if you're going into college, which one and which major? You're going into your career, which career are you going to, you know, what type of job, relationships, and what you are in a relationship, how big your family will be. I mean, there's just a million different choices that we make throughout our life and just so many possibilities and directions. But even in all of these choices, God says, hey, it doesn't matter all those choices you make. There's really only two ways. The way of the foolish and the way of the wise. That's it. The righteous, the just, and the foolish and wicked. Two different ways. You know what? The path of a saved Christian person saved by the blood of Jesus Christ will follow God's instructions, will follow His commands, and that we will be walking the path of the wise, and everybody else is walking the way of the wicked. Everybody else. You've got the saved that choose to follow God and follow His instructions. That's the way of the wise, and everybody else. Do you realize even as a Christian person, you can walk in the way of the foolish and wickedness? You can. You'll pay for it, but you can do it. Aren't you glad? The wise, who are they? They're saved, headed to heaven, have the mind of Christ. That's what He gives us. We have this mind that is in Christ Jesus. That's one thing we know when we're saved. We're spiritually alive, not dead like we once were, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We worship God. We flee from sin. And verse 18 says that our path, the path of the just, is as a shining light. Do you see that? Just like a shining light. And it says that that shining light shineth more and more unto the perfect. Perfect day. You know what that reminds me of? This metaphor that He's trying to show us in our life. Have you ever been maybe driving or outside just before the sun sets, right? It's really dark outside before, you know, that darkest part, and then the sun starts to rise, and what happens? You get a little more light and a little more light, and as the sun gets higher and the light starts more illuminating things, the things you couldn't really see, you start to make out, right? You start to see those things, and as the sun gets higher and higher, then the colors start to appear, and what was once really just dark and gray and black now is full of color and vibrant. And that's what God is saying. The path of the just is just like that sun coming up. And don't you remember it? You know, when at the point you were saved, you know, you started to see things a little more clearly and a little more clearly. And as you started following God, as you started getting that Bible in your heart and in your mind, as you started walking by faith and seeing who God really was, not just men's opinion, not just what you thought logically, but what who God really is and how He works in your life, that sun just started coming higher and higher. You started to see clearer and clearer. And I tell you what, isn't it a blessing now? We're not walking in darkness anymore. We're walking in the light. And not only that, it gets brighter and brighter every day. I tell you, it's a blessing. No matter how many times we get in this word, how many times we pray to God, how many times we try to walk by faith, it gets a little clearer each time. It doesn't make things a whole lot easier sometimes because the flesh is still there. But I'll tell you what, I can see better now than I ever could. Oh, I can't read the music very well without the glasses. I can't read the page as well as I used to. But I'll tell you what, I can look around and spiritually, my eyes are never better than they were before. And that's what it is. That's what he's trying to show us right there. The path of the just is as a shining light. Haven't you seen it? Things become more clear. This is what our Christian life should look like. We should be more learning more about God's word. We should be walking more by faith and through prayer and answered prayer, seeing how God works. And each day we should get a better understanding. You realize something? I know this world is getting more wicked every day. But if you know the Bible and you know what God has told us, it will get wicked every day. He said it would. So when we start to see things that God said would happen, instead of fretting over it, we should go back and say, God, yet again, you proved yourself true. Yet again, your word is true. You said it in these last days. Men would be lovers of pleasures and lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And we're seeing it out here. God, you're right. Over and over again. That's how the vision gets clearer and clearer. Lord, you said there would be wars and rumors of wars. Lord, you said that they would be attacking Israel all the time. Lord, you said there'd be spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. I didn't used to see it. I used to think all these other things. But Lord, I'm seeing it. And I know it's what you said. You want to know what Jesus said in the last days would look like? He said they would look like the days of Lot. And in Luke 17:28, Jesus said this: they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. You know what else? Jesus didn't mention all the things that they were doing in Lot, but I tell you what, it looks a lot like Lot's day right now, where they glorify sin and everything else and live their lives as if judgment would never come. They were planting. Think of how ridiculous it was for them to plant a garden and then later that day, fire and brimstone would rain down and destroy them all. I tell you what, that's as ridiculous as the way some people are living in this life, as if judgment will never come, as if Jesus will never return, as if they'll never have to answer to their life, and as if hell isn't real. Because if they really believed that stuff, they'd live differently. Right? How many things do we pass on Sunday morning? People doing this and doing that, not a care in the world for their soul or eternity. Why? Because they're just like they were in the days of Lot. And Jesus said it would come and it would happen. So then the question is, if the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day, how's your walk with the Lord? And how's your Bible study? Is it helping you to see clearer spiritually, to see better? Is there more light spiritually in your life than there was before? Are you seeing things better? Because that's the way God said it should be. Now, if we listen to the world, that's not going to help us. Because what's it say? Jesus even said in the New Testament, John 18:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, there's a difference there. And let's go on to verse 19. As I was saying we should be seeing clearly. But verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So you got the wise path, but the opposite's the foolish path. And there they are. It's just like darkness. And you think about that. Think about every single lost person you know. And now put that verse to their life. Right? Everyone you know trying to live their life. And in all reality, they're walking in darkness. Have you seen it? Have you seen that in people's lives? And in fact, he goes, what are they like? Instead of being wise, they're foolish. They're lost. Their mind is full of worldly wisdom. They're empty. They're spiritually dead. And they mock the fact that God condemns sin, and their path, instead of growing brighter, it grows darker every day. Yeah. In fact, the verse says they don't even know what's causing them to stumble.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Have you ever watched somebody? Have you ever watched somebody that's lost? And now we don't expect a lost person to follow God's word.
That's right.
Now Christians need to. But have you ever seen God tell us not to do something? And then you watch someone in this world do that. And then pay the consequences.
Yeah.
And they don't realize why they can't catch a break. Right? Why nothing good ever happens. Why they're just bad luck and everything else, when in all reality, they can't see that the very sin and the very disobedience is causing them to stumble. They can't see it, can they? But we can. Right? We're not in darkness. We've got the light turned on. Don't you see how God's word is true? Those of us that are saved, we're walking in the light. We've got the Bible to light our path. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Our eyes are open to the truth, and we can see what's causing them to stumble, but they can't. We see it all the time. They go against God's instruction. We see the consequences. And then we know. That's why God tells us not to do that. What's even more sad is when a Christian person goes against God's word and the same thing happens. And then they get frustrated. And then you really want to shake them and say, God told you not to.
Yeah.
You know, their life is a dangerous life, isn't it? If you're walking in the dark, you don't know what's around. And you're stumbling into things that you can't see. That's dangerous. And it's just as dangerous to live that worldly, wicked, foolish life. But a righteous life is clear and safe and bright. Let's go on. Next three verses, 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So King Solomon, he is instructing. You'll see a lot in this section. He will say, my son. You'll see him say it over and over again, because Solomon is instructing his young son, Rehoboam, who would be king next. But he wouldn't follow what any of the instructions that Solomon told him to. He wouldn't heed the advice. But here's the problem. Solomon didn't heed his own advice either. 1 Kings 11 says this, he loved many strange women, and even though God commanded him this, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And that's exactly what happened in his life. His love for women drove him apart from God, and the wisest man that ever lived started worshiping other gods. It was his downfall, and that's what split the kingdom into the northern and southern kingdoms. After that, God said it would happen. He said all of these things will happen. So here's Solomon teaching his son godly wisdom, which we need to do. We've got to do that as parents. We have to teach our children, and even when you get to the point of grandchildren, continue to teach them. But you know, we can't make them listen. But you know what? I think the most effective way of teaching someone, whether it's a child, grandchild, or you're discipling anybody, the best way to teach them godly wisdom is to live it, is to live godly, isn't it? You can't say it with your mouth and not live it, especially people that live in your own house. You can't fool them. They see you hiding that godly wisdom in your own heart, living it so that everyone can see God's wisdom in action. That's the best life. A righteous life, God-fearing, spirit-filled life. You know what he says? He says, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You realize the life of the wise that are walking in righteousness and all those things, it's a blessed life. It's a healthy life, isn't it? It's a healthy life. That's what he's saying. It's a satisfying life. But do you realize I can't come up here and say that I'm satisfied and it's a great life and God's word is great and then turn around and live a different way? It doesn't work. It won't convince people. This world's skeptical, aren't they? But when they see something genuine, that's different than normal. Yeah. They're not used to genuine. They're used to politicians. They're used to salesmen. They're used to all these things. They're not used to genuine truth. But when they see it, then they'll start latching onto it. It may take a while, but God will open doors. And then finally, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I think this is one of the most important things he says to his son here in verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You know what we might say today? We might say, guard your heart. With diligence. Diligently guard your heart. That's probably what we would say. You know what that means? We got to keep it clean. We've got to fill it with the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and out of the heart comes actions, and out of the heart comes all these things. But one of the greatest things is Ezekiel 36:26 tells us, as a saved person, what happened when we were saved? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Aren't you glad when we were saved, God gave us a new heart? He gave us the mind of Christ. I tell you what, that new heart that we've been given, it's precious. It's worth keeping. It's worth guarding. It is worth keeping, because you know what will happen? And the Bible talks about different things that can happen to a heart that's unguarded. It can start to become a proud heart. The Bible says a double heart, which is kind of like being double-minded, an unbelieving heart, a cold heart, an unclean heart. But I tell you what, nothing beats a pure heart. One that's godly, righteous, and that lives soberly in these last days. And here's the thing. I told you there is two paths, and we can fill ourselves with all the wisdom, and we need to, but then the choice is, which path will we walk down? Solomon had to make the choice, and he made a lot of good choices, but he let that love of women steer him in the wrong direction, and it was his ruin. In fact, you want to see how bad it is? Read the book of Ecclesiastes and see at the end of his life, he's saying, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What was he saying? All those riches and all that stuff meant nothing. All that love meant nothing. All of that, all the building projects meant nothing. All the work I did meant nothing. Why? Because I went apart from what God told me to do, and I wasted all of that life. And I'll tell you what, it's a warning for us today. That's what he's, you can just hear him pouring out the warning to his son, that you've got to take this wisdom and hold on to it.
Amen.
From God's word. And then the choice is ours. Once we get it, which path are we going to walk down? The path that gets brighter and brighter each day, or the dark path that's filled with hidden things that'll trip you up? Just makes you think of that. The devil, like hiding like a snare, ready to trap you. That's what he does in this world. Aren't you glad our eyes have been opened? Aren't you glad we've got his word? We don't have to guess. We don't have to come up with a committee. We don't have to act like we've got any hidden knowledge or anything else. We don't have to conjure up some dead spirit. We don't have to read some religious book that a man created. We don't have to do any of that. We've got the truth from God. But which path will we go down? Proverbs 4 tells us there's only two. That the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That sounds like a good path. Oh, but the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I'll tell you what. There's no better way to guard yourself than to just take some time this week and think about these two verses and start to apply it. Think about the light path and how's it worked when you've filled yourself with his word. Do you understand more? Is it more clear? And then look at the path of the wicked out here and see, what are they stumbling with? What's bringing them down? And they don't even realize it. Listen to the words. They don't even realize it. God's word is true. But I'll tell you what, I think it's good that we've got this wisdom, but we got to get into it every day. And the biggest thing that sometimes we miss, and I've been guilty of this a lot, I can put that verse and put that passage in my mind, but it doesn't go down to the heart. Right? It gets all analytical, memorized, and everything else, but it doesn't move my feet, my mouth, and everything else. We've got to apply God's word to our life. That's the key right there. So as you're looking at Proverbs each day, and I would challenge you to start doing that, and you can do that the rest of your life. You'll find something new, and you'll find something for that day. I promise you, you will. Try it. But one of the good things is when we actually apply it to our life. And whether you need to write things down, I like to write things down as I'm studying. I've got notebook after notebook, and when I fill it up, I just go get another one and start filling that up. Whatever you need to do to help it to get into your heart. Memorizing all these different things, whatever it takes for you. Some people journal, some people do even copy word for word. That helps them. Whatever it takes for you, I tell you what, we've got to hide it in our heart. These last days, they're dangerous. There's a pull of compromise and a pull of going down the path. Remember, I read to you at the beginning, as if there's no absolute certainty. That's a bunch of junk. The Bible's real and it's true. Pure and preserved every generation, including this one. And we can stand on it. Amen. But we got two paths. Which one will we choose? I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard it more than you would guard your most prized possession you have on this earth. Guard your heart. The devil wants it. He wants to corrupt it. He wants to confuse it. He wants to darken it. He wants to harden it. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad there's a God that can keep it.
Amen.
But he gave us a method of how to keep it pure and clean. He said, you got to get in this and you got to live it. Let's go ahead and see. But even if it gets... Even when we sin, we mess up, and we fall short, I'm glad we can turn to God and confess, and He'll forgive.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a blessing to think of.